Continuing our series of sermons on Your Name Has Been Drawn, to let us know that God has given each one of us a spiritual gift, and some of us have a gift mixed. And the purpose that He has given us these wonderful gifts is so that we would not keep them, but we would open them and we would use these gifts that He's given us for the building up of the church. And I do believe that as a result of these messages that we have heard and are hearing, this church is going to change its picture. We are going to look differently because we're going to start using the gifts that we had. We're going to start stepping out in new areas that we've never stepped out before. We may trip and fall, but Jesus will pick us up. And we may find excelling in some of these things that we have never ever thought of excelling before as we experiment, perhaps. But Your name has been drawn. Everybody's got a gift. And you know how important it is when there's a drawing, for example, with names on these things. And you just want so much to have your name drawn, don't you? Because you're going to get the prize. Greg, you come up. These names are here. Just reach in and pull out a name. Just reach in and pull out a name. And then tell us what name you have.
Greg.
Ah! God has given each one of us a gift. Your name has been drawn. Your name has been drawn from all these, from the name. Greg's name's been drawn. Your name has been drawn. And the purpose of these sermons, as I said earlier, is just to get our church looking differently, and we will with the help of God. Now today we want to look at two spiritual gifts, and they just sort of work together in a way. One is discerning of spirits, the spiritual gift of discernment of spirits, and secondly would be the spiritual gift of exorcism or deliverance, as we use it in our church today. So the first is discerning of spirits. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. And then bookmark that, because we're going to go to James in just a little bit. Hebrews 5, 14. Hebrews 5, 14. Now the Bible teaches that every Christian should be able to discern between right and wrong, good and evil. That's just a given. What I ask you, can you do this? I mean, as a Christian, don't you know what's right and wrong? Don't you know what's good and evil? Okay, somebody shake your head one way or the other. Okay, all right. So you know that. So as a Christian, there are certain givens that we have. Now in Hebrews 5:14, it says, "But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil." Or one translation says, having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So a Christian has this ability. Now the Berean Christians, according to Acts 17, were commended for not being naive, because they could test and they knew what was right and what was wrong. In 1 John 4, a few pages over from Hebrews, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. Dear friends, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Now, the scripture describes the role of a Christian to be able to know, as we said, what is right and wrong, which is good or evil. But there are those who have what you call a deeper insight, the spiritual gift of discerning these spirits, the spirit of the Antichrist, which will be against Christ. And this can be done by comparing what they are saying with the way they live, comparing what they are saying with what is recorded in the Word of God. And if they taught what God has taught in the Word, then they would be of the Lord. If they teach a doctrine that is contrary to the Word of God, then we could discern that their spirit would not be of God. And, of course, if somebody comes into their home meeting and would say things that was contrary to, for example, what they had been taught, then they would say, hey, hold off, zip your lip, or out, you know, we're not going to listen to you because you're not speaking. Oh, but they looked good, they talked good, but those who had the spiritual gift of discernment could say, this person is not of God. What he is saying, what she is saying, is not of God. And it is just as proper for the church today to discern the spirits of people as it was in those days. And for example, on television, we have very recently seen some and heard some individuals who proclaim to be what we knew they could not be. In fact, one man, when he was interviewed, said, either I'm a kook or you believe me. And so we all say, well, he's probably a kook. So we discern the spirits. And this was a spiritual gift. And here's the definition. The gift of discerning of spirits is the special ability that God gives to some members of the body of Christ to know with assurance whether certain behavior purported to be of God is in reality divine, human, or satanic. Matthew 24, 4 and 5, Jesus said, watch out. Don't let anyone fool you. Many men claiming to speak for me will come. And then Paul says to Timothy, the Spirit says clearly that some people will abandon the faith. In latter times, they will obey lying spirits and they will follow the teachings of demons. Now you say, well, could this possibly be in our situation today? Could in this church there be somebody come in and speak that way? Well, basically you would say no, because people who are invited to speak are known beforehand, but there could be occasions when somebody would come in and want to speak, and it may sound just right, but somebody in the congregation having the spiritual gift of discernment says, hey, there's just something not right. Now, few people have the discerning of spirits. Now, we know we discern what's right and wrong and good and bad, but few people have the discerning of spirits, and for the few people who do have it, it takes a lot of guts for them to stand up, speak out in this. Therefore, it is very, very hard because they are reluctant to use it. It takes a lot of courage for one who has the spiritual gift to see what is being heard. In Acts chapter 5, this is a good example here. Acts chapter 5. A man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but he brought the rest and put it at the disciples' feet. Acts 5, verse 3. Then Peter said, Ananias, hey, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? This is the spiritual gift of discernment in operation. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. And when Ananias heard this, what happened, people?
He
He fell down. He just didn't fall down. He fell down as in dead. And then great fear, you better believe, great fear seized all those who heard what had happened. Then the young man came forward, wrapped up the body, carried him out, and buried him. And then how many hours later did his wife come back?
3 hours
later, his wife comes back. She didn't know what had happened. And Peter asked her, tell me, honey, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes. This is the price. And then Peter said to her, again, with his discernment of the spiritual gift of discernment, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the man who buried your husband are at the door, and they're going to carry you out also. And at that moment, what happened to her? Likewise, she fell down dead. And then, verse 11, again, great fear seized the whole church and all the people who heard about the event. So in this case, with Ananias and Sapphira, Paul was exercising, he was walking in the exercising of the spiritual gift of discernment. I mean, if this had happened to most of us, we would have said, oh, thank you for the money, you know, thank you. But he had discernment. And then Acts 16 is another good example of discernment. Acts chapter 16, verse 16, 17, and 18. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God." Now, this is a positive thing, she is saying, who are telling you the way to be saved. And she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled, irritated too, that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. He had discernment. He knew this was not. Now, this girl was saying what was right. She was saying the good things that we would want to hear. Oh, these guys are preaching the way of salvation. But Paul, with the gift of discernment, said, "This is not true. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her." And the Spirit came out of her. This is why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, to another, the ability to tell the difference between gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. Yes, there are false prophets today. And so the spiritual gift of discernment of spirits I see in two ways. I see it distinguishing truth from error, but I see it deeper, whether a Christian is emerging with godly motives or carnal motives. And this is seen through the discernment of spirits. And it's being further seen today in a new phrase that probably has only been used in this church two times. It's called spiritual mapping. Spiritual mapping. Where people who have the spiritual gift of discernment are mapping what is not seen by people. For example, they would come into our city, and with the discernment of spirits, they would see the spiritual world that's over King City, and they would do the spiritual mapping, and they would say, "This is what's over King City." Now, even before spiritual mapping came as a phrase in the theological world, there were people who were getting discernments about King City, for example. And I remember more than 15 years ago, it was discerned that sitting up there over King City was the stronghold, a man, the strong man called adultery. It was discerned that this is what is the strong man over the city of King. There are others that work, but this was probably the strong man. Anyway, this is the conclusion of the discernment of spirits. We have discernment of spirits, and then we have the discernment that we as Christians should have. It sort of goes right in line with the latter part of the message, which is exorcism, the gift also known as deliverance. Now, it's not mentioned in the Bible as such, but there is clear evidence that it's working in the New Testament, and it's working in our contemporary world as well. And here's the definition. The gift of deliverance is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to cast out demons and evil spirits. Now, we read in Acts chapter 16 that Paul discerned that there was an evil spirit with this woman. And so he turned and said, or how did he say? Did he say, oh, I suggest you leave, or something like that? I, Paul, suggest you leave? No, he said, in the name of Jesus, come out. All Christians have the ability to cast out demons. Because it does say in Mark, if you'll turn to 16, verse 17, Mark 16, 17, and I did preface that by saying Christians, all Christians have this ability. Mark 16, 17. We're getting there. These signs will accompany those who believe. Now, we are believers, right? You are a believer. In my name, they will do what?
Drive
out demons. So every believer can drive out demons. Much of the material that I'm giving is from Peter Wagner's book. And he said on one occasion, he says, I do not have the spiritual gift of exorcism. I do not have the spiritual gift to cast out demons. But he says, there have been many, 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 many times when I have cast out demons. So it goes back to the scripture I just read. If you're a Christian, you have the ability to do this. On the other hand, there are some people who have the special ability. It may come easier. It has discernment worth working with it. And they just have the special ability. But I don't want you to think, well, because I don't have the special ability, I'm no good. No, you are, and you can. For example, if we're casting out demons, why? Where did they come from to begin with? Why do we have them? Greg, would you put these overlays on for me, please? And they're numbered 1, 2, 3, and 4. This first overlay I want you to see. Why we have problems today is because of this guy. And what's his name? Lucifer. Yeah. Lucifer. Lucifer was perfect in beauty, perfect in all wisdom. He was created by God. He was this beautiful angel. And you can look at him here and drop it just a little bit to read the top. God created all the angels. Lucifer was an angel. And the light of God shone through Lucifer's body, making him an angel of light. So we got this angel with all the other angels, but this angel said, hey, 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 you know, I'm, thumbs up for me. Uno. God is healing my arm, I know. Okay, on the second overlay. So there came a time when Lucifer decided, he became proud, mad. He conned how many of the other angels? One third. He conned one third of these angels into joining him. You can tell the expression of his face has even changed. And the very first sin in history was when Lucifer wanted to be God. And the scripture tells us, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which this weaken the nations? And it goes on and on to say how he did, what he did from Isaiah chapter 14. But here was this, and I would ask you to read it, but I don't think you can. His plan was to take control of heaven. Why not? Wasn't he perfect? He forgot one thing. He wasn't the creator of the universe. Then God moved. God moved him out. And overlay 3. He moved him out. And this picture, see if you can focus it just a little bit, Greg, on the other side. There's a knob on the other side. This picture is really good because it shows the horrible looking creatures that some have actually even seen. You see them. You can look through all those. There are five or six demons there. And they were just waiting as fallen angels, Satan's fallen angels, became unclean spirits of demons. And they were waiting for Noah when he got out of the ark. And so if they were waiting for Noah when they got out of the ark, how much are they waiting for us right now? So we have the spiritual gift of exorcism, of deliverance, because we are confronted with demons. And as Christians, we have the ability to move them out too. So where are they right now? Where are they right now? On the fourth and last overlay, this is the best picture I've ever seen. When they were booted out of heaven and given a new location, the planet Earth became the atmosphere. And you can see the planet Earth. You can see right there where we live. And the atmosphere all around. And Lucifer was given new names. Satan, the accuser, the devil, little god, the prince and power of the air, the god of this world, the dragon. These are scriptural words that come. But the idea is that around this planet, including King's City, we've got these demonic spirits. So this man came to me once and said, "Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it." I said, "Why not?" And he actually said, "Pastor, if you don't talk about it, they'll go away." And I did not have much smarts at that time. Later, I wanted to go back to him, though he moved out of town, to tell him that that is exactly what this guy wants. He wants us not to talk about him, because if we don't talk, we'll be ignorant, and then you won't have pastors to tell you the truth as to who we are fighting. Thank you, Greg. So the scripture says that we are in a spiritual warfare. The email that we got this morning from Japan stated that so vividly. He said, "We are in spiritual warfare. And we don't fight with swords and with bazookas and with guns, because Paul says we are fighting the principalities of the air." You can shoot with any type of a missile or any kind of a weapon that has been conceived by man all over the atmosphere. Scud missiles everywhere, and they would not hit, because they're spirits. Just like the Lord's Spirit has filled this room right now. The Spirit of God is, you can't see it, feel it. You don't know where the Spirit is, but the Spirit of God is with us right now. And so the spirit of the evil one is out there with his demonic forces. And they're there, and they're working, because he is real, his helpers are real, and anyone disbelieving that does not change the fact that demons are real. So Ephesians 6:12 says, we are fighting against the principalities. What does that mean? It means the chief rulers. It means the beings of the first rank and order in their own kingdom. We're fighting against powers, Paul says. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. The principalities are the chief rulers of the first rank. The powers are the authorities with power to exercise the will of the chief rulers, because it is organized quite well. The rulers of the darkness of this world would be the rulers, world rulers of darkness of this age, and we can have some to come to our mind right now, perhaps. Spiritual wickedness would be the wicked spirits of Satan in the heavenlies. And when he says we're fighting him in high places, in the day in which it was written, we have high places. The Jewish rulers were in high places, as well as high, meaning up high, in the heavens today. Great group of evil spirits, angels employed under the devil. And our part is to be aware of these. At this present moment, these spirits are working against humanity. They are trying to infuse unbelief. They're trying to infuse pride, idolatry, malice, envy, anger, and like a hatred in a way of life in this city and around the world. And we can't make the mistake by saying, well, they are over here, over there. You know, while they're over there, those people are saying, they're over here, and they're here, and they're just here. So we fly by this truth in God's Word as they fly by. And it's not to scare anyone, but it's to make us more spiritually aware of the battle that we are in. Folks, we are in a battle. The Bible says we're soldiers. We're not out fighting anybody that comes to your mind right now. were fighting against the principalities. And as a spirit person, of which we are, I say, as bold as I can, as a Christian, you are protected by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has just been poured upon you, and you are protected by the blood of Jesus. But as a Christian, you are affected, hear this, you are affected by the fiery darts of the evil one. Now we're body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit is so sealed with the blood of Jesus, it is just sealed. There is no way. In fact, you are sealed to the day of redemption. But the other part of us, you know, our soul and our body, is vulnerable to these attacks. And Paul says the fiery darts of the devil. That is why you have to lift up the shield to stop the fiery darts. If you don't lift up the shield, the darts are going to hit you in your soul and in your physical body. Now there's a difference, as I'm trying to explain, between being possessed and being obsessed by spiritual beings. You understand? Hollywood's made a lot to do about exorcism. And it is true that there are people who are possessed. I mean, they are possessed by Satan. And those people who are possessed by Satan, if they want out and they come to a deliverance, they can be set free, like the guy from Bolivia who came to Los Angeles. He went to a Catherine Kuhlman meeting a number of years ago, and he got saved. And then he went further to get some deliverance. And at this deliverance, in attending a prayer meeting, he was delivered, and they wrote these down. He was delivered from the demons, exorcised out of him yoga, clairvoyance, astrology, voodoo, reincarnation, levitation, metaphysical healing, automatic writing, the use of the pendulum, extrasensory perception. And when all these demons left them, they just, poof, they just cast him on the floor. And he got up free because in the name of Jesus, he had been set free. The spiritual gift of exorcism was observed in him. He goes back to Bolivia and he discovers he's got the spiritual gift of healing, which we're going to look at in a few weeks. These angels of Satan make war upon the saints. Ephesians 6, we've read some of those. They do influence us, and I want to repeat that because some people have said to me, well, I'm a Christian and I'm not bothered by demons at all. But in 1 Timothy, it says in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith, follow deceiving spirits, and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. According to the Word of God, demons can afflict people. And so if we are people, and if we're living in the world, and if around this world there are these thousands and millions of demonic spirits, then they are affecting us. For example, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, you don't have to turn to it, I just want to read a few verses here. Matthew 12, 22, this is from the words, from the lips of Jesus. They brought to him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. Now, they brought to him a man who was possessed. He had blindness. He was mute. And in chapter 17, which is even clearer stated, Matthew 17, verse 15, they came to the crowd. A man approached him and knelt before him, and he said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures, and he is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't heal him. But Jesus had the boy brought to him, and in verse 18, Jesus rebuked the demon. He rebuked the demon. Today, in the name of Jesus, we do it. Because he was who he was, rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. In this spiritual warfare in which we are placed, we have got to take authority as individuals and as Christians. And any Christian can take authority over the attacks of evil. And during, let's say severe temptations that come our way, The Bible says, do not save when you are tempted. You are tempted of God. So the evil one comes by his angels, and he comes, and we say, get away from me. I'm not going to listen to the lies of the enemy. And when these things, thoughts come to our mind, we say, hey, God, it wasn't God who put those thoughts in my mind. Who could it be? And we know who it is. And so we say, I refuse to listen to you. That sounds easy, doesn't it? But people, it is not that easy. It is not that easy. From experience, we all know it's not that easy. But it is possible. That's the key. It is possible. It is possible. With the gift of discernment and the gift of deliverance, it works together. But it's in the name of Jesus. And for most of us, situations can and do arise when a demon will come to us and attack us. And this is our Christian role. It's our Christian role to be aware of this and then say, hey, I'm a child of God. I am the redeemed. And in the name of Jesus, get away. And I tell you people, in the name of Jesus, those demons will go away. It is a fact that's in concrete. But remember this story when all the demons left and the house was all cleaned up? They came right back. Come with me. They came right back. So when you say in the name of Jesus, out, or for your children, or for yourself, or a family member, it happens. It has to happen. But if there's not a will to consistently follow through with that, or if there is not a total agreement, then it's going to come back. So it works two ways. It works two ways. After a while, I want to pass out some handouts, but I want to read just a couple of statements from this one you will be receiving. A person cannot be free of demonic traffic. A person cannot be free. Me, you, we. A person cannot be free of demonic traffic. Our body, soul, and spirit make up our mind. The spirit dwells. The demon spirits are working on our soul and our body. A Christian not only can, but does have demonic influences in his soul and in his body, as we mentioned earlier. And so the aim of deliverance is to remove these demon spirits that are in the soul and in the body in order that King Jesus may reign. How do the demons attack or enter a person? Four ways, as I see it. A willful sin, a happened circumstance, a way of inheritance, or a matter of opening the door, which is similar to number one, but for example, like witchcraft. And I believe that there are demon spirits for every sickness and unholy trait among men today. And somebody says, well, how do you know I need help in this area? Well, the answer is this. If you have a persistent problem in emotions, in speech, in your mental faculties, or in addictions or sex, if you have persistent problems in this, then you're a candidate to say, hey, I want deliverance from these things. And again, the difference between demon possession and demon influence. So in a nutshell, we're here on planet Earth, and we're not alone. We got Jesus on the inside, but we got a host of demonic spirits on the outside that are trying to destroy every single one of you. And that's why we need to take authority. We're in a spiritual battle. We need to wake up, and thank God God has put his spiritual gifts in the church, and people, as we exercise these spiritual gifts or move in them, we are going to see a change in the way this church looks. We're going to see a change in the way this church looks. But it's only going to happen when we decide to do this. I will arise. May we stand and may we sing. I will arise, Jesus, and go forth, conquering the foe. I will arise and go forth in the name of the Lord of hosts, for he has conquered every foe. By his name, by his name, I will declare. The Lord, I will trust and not be afraid. I will arise. Now sing it like you mean it, and you will. I will arise and go forth in the name of the Lord of hosts, for he has conquered every foe. By his name, I will declare he is the Lord. I will trust, and I'll not be afraid. I will arise and go forth in his name. Now sing this to the Lord real reverently. I will arise and go forth in the name. Yes, God, this is my prayer. I will arise and declare. Yes. I will arise and go forth. Lord Jesus, we have stood in your presence and we have made a prayer to you. And we have said, our neighbors have heard, it's been recorded by the angels above, I will arise and go forth in the name of Jesus, conquering the foes that are besetting us. Thank you, Lord, you haven't just left us like a man who, the company that builds a ship, the ship just is christened and just goes out into the water. We're not like that. You have gone with us into these waters of affliction and adversities. And as we are aware of all these things, we will arise, go forth in the name and in the power of Jesus. And we thank you that you have given us the equipment to fight the spiritual battle. Thank you, Lord, for the equipment that you've given us. And it is in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. If you want prayer this morning, would you come? As we have just stood in his presence, seated in his presence, he is with us, and we just praise God for that. Anyone? Lord Jesus, we do thank you, and we do praise you. You're such a great and awesome God, and to think that we have been adopted into your family. Thank you, God. Help us not to forget that this week when things don't go right and when things start going wrong and seem to be falling apart and when there are frustrations over people and circumstances and situations and things just go against us and things like that be planned against us. God, help us to know that you are with us and you've given us a way out. And I pray that the peace of the Lord be upon each of us as we go from this place, that his countenance would shine upon us and through us, and we would go be your people, all that we can be in your army, in Jesus' name. Amen.